Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. A few months ago, and it might even be verging on a year ago, we had a man on our program, Mr. Charlie LaFountain, who's a grandfather and a grandfather and a husband, lives out in the an area here in our area of the world called the Inland Empire. We're in the L.A. area. The Inland Empire is out in the interior of the state in Southern California. They're from Riverside. And he was talking about his granddaughter. Both he and his wife have guardianship over this child, and what they did to protect her from predators. And it's now been a year, and we're going to talk with him a little bit more about this program. And by the way, he was telling us during that broadcast that he had intimidated himself some predators and individuals that they thought were unsavory. I must tell you that we're going to be talking to him this evening from, he is going to be talking to us by way of a cell phone aboard a DC-10. And this is, the story itself is kind of interesting, and I don't know if you can hear me. Charlie?
I can hear you fine, Phil. This is Charlie LaFountain here. And, we are in a DC-10, which is a passenger aircraft, really, from the 1940s. And my company has recommissioned this particular DC-10 to inaugurate these nostalgia flights over Arizona and New Mexico. In the hopes that we'll attract people, tourists, to enjoy the old ways of flying. And we have even a stewardess, a flight attendant, and we're called stewardesses in the old days, serving drinks. It's an experience we hope people enjoy. We happen to be, my wife and I, are aboard this evening as we're flying our way to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So it's a DC-3.
It's a DC-3, so it's a two-engine. The interesting part of flying a DC-3 is you have airplane buffs out there. The DC-3 has two wheels, and so the tail sits on the runway. And in order for the aircraft to get altitude, as it proceeds on the runway, all of the passengers and most of the weight aboard the aircraft must be shifted to the front of the aircraft so that you've got as much weight as possible off the tail section. And that way the tail is going to lift off the ground, and then the passengers can move back to their seats. But it's just part of the interesting experience of flying one.
You know, I flew in a DC-3 once myself.
Did you?
Yeah, it was from Miami to Key West, and it was fun. One of the things about it is you're not very high, right?
Well, you can get, the elevation can get 10 to 15,000 feet. Generally, we will have it at about 1,000 feet or less, just so people can look at the scenery and
yeah, because we flew over we flew out of Miami and went right down the Keys.
It must have been gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very beautiful, and we're flying over the Keys, looking at the ocean, and landed at Key West, and it was a lot of fun. But we're here to talk a little bit about your granddaughter, right?
Well, yes, we are. And I apologize because we had this scheduled, and I was told by Jim Sebastian, who is my vice president of operations, that we were going to have this flight this evening. And so I'm hopeful, Phil, that it won't be too distracting.
Not at all, sir. So your granddaughter, who was and still is in your home, and you have guardianship over this young lady. And by the way, what is her name?
My granddaughter's name is Roberta, and she is a 14 now. She was 13 when I first talked to you about her.
But why do you and your wife have, not custody?
It's guardianship, and custody is the same thing. We've not adopted her, but we are the official guardians of this child. And the reason why is because her mother had a series of episodes. Her mother has a mental condition, a psychotic condition, I guess, a schizophrenia.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, she's been hospitalized. We have her on medication now. She's an outpatient, but we don't feel that this is the time for her and her daughter to be reunited, although they see each other. And I felt it was best that we took the child in hand and had her in our home. because there's no telling, you know, if you've got a parent that is, is not healthy enough to take care of a child.
No explanation necessary, sir. My hat is off to you and your wife at this time in your life. Any grandparent that takes a child in and raises a child, man, they've got endless respect for me.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil. It's a heck of a thing. There's no question about it, having to take in your own children are unable to be parents, and then you have to take in these children. And more, it seems to be the case with a lot of people in my generation, my age group, that we're having to raise kids because people your age, no comment on you, Phil, but people your age are just not capable of, there's a lot of drug use, there's a lot of drug addicts, there's a lot of, I guess, alcoholism, there's a violence and mental illness, and it's a horrible situation. So I took my my granddaughter and I said that we're going to keep this child safe.
All right, now I had you on my show last year, Charlie.
Yes.
Talking about what your philosophy was in keeping kids safe from predators, and at that time you said that it was a simple matter of making the child as unattractive as possible. And you know you took a lot of static.
Listen, Phil, if there's one thing I've taken in my life, it's a lot of static. But Charlie the Fountain stands by what he says and what he does. And I would tell you that when Charlie the Fountain says something, Charlie the Fountain is going to stone still next to what I say. And a lot of people say that that's inflexible. I think a lot of people say that it's almost unhealthy. But I call myself a cigar store Indian. And the reason why I call myself that is because once I say something, then I'll stand next to that idea as if I'm a cigar store Indian. You can't move me. You could take an axe and chop at me, and of course I'm being figurative here.
No, but I get your idea.
Yeah, right. And so I am the philosophical, that's what the guys call me, because we meet every morning, myself, and there's about three or four other guys that I know from the neighborhood and so forth, and we meet every morning at Denny's. We have the slam, whatever they call that, breakfast, and they say, here comes Charlie, the cigar store Indian. And I say, you know what, I take that as a compliment.
All right, so tell me about your granddaughter.
I'm sorry to go on, Phil. I apologize.
No, that's okay. It's okay. I think it's cool. You're meeting with your buddies in the morning. Tell me about your daughter, your granddaughter, and what you did and what you talked to us about and how it went.
Well, the philosophy is a very simple one, Phil. You take a child like this, and she's not old enough to be dressing up and going out in this nonsense. She's a little girl, so you don't have to worry about this nonsense about, oh, she's got to smell pretty and look pretty because, no. We encouraged Becky to eat. We encouraged her to eat pancakes and this kind. She put some weight on. She's going to get the weight off. And she broke out, and that will end as well. But for this period in her life, we decided that for her to put on some weight, to have a little bit of bad skin, to not bathe, to not, in other words, to be repugnant as much as possible. Now, that's not to say that she's unhealthy. There's a big difference between not having hygiene. And what people will say to me, well, this is the most terrible thing I've ever heard, and they'll go on and on. I'll say, what would you rather have, a nice-smelling dead kid?
And see, that's kind of language, though, you know.
Well, I understand that, but it gets people's attention.
To say, would you rather have, because I read that, would you rather have a nice-smelling dead kid or a kid that you said smells like a dead body but is alive?
Yes, I use those words very, very specifically because I wanted people to understand what we're dealing with. What are the stakes when our children have these predators, and they're everywhere. You know, the stakes are you'll have a dead kid that smells real good in a party dress, or you've got a living granddaughter that stinks your car out, literally. And that's what I said, and I stand by that.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us. Hold on, Charlie, and how's the plane ride?
It's absolutely comfortable. I got some coffee here. I might even have a cocktail. I'm not sure. We are due into Albuquerque probably within the hour. And we're just having a very, very, very beautiful evening this evening, Phil, over the desert.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us aboard a DC-3. flying to Albuquerque, New Mexico this evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, as we're going to continue this discussion of the way Charlie and his wife deal with their granddaughter and the threat of predators. The girl is basically allowed to put on weight, not bathe, a lot of things that just make the kid, as Charlie said, stink and be repulsive. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back with Charlie the Fountain after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
A little bit.
And it's we're talking with Charlie LaFountain here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's fun to listen to. Literally, you're inside this DC-3, which is a propeller-driven aircraft over New Mexico tonight. Is it noisy?
No, it's not really noisy, Phil. And I know what you mean by there's a lot of propeller-driven aircraft, prop jobs, as we call them. They can get very noisy. It depends certainly on the kind of fuselage. The DC-3, McDonnell Douglas... built the DC-3 with a certain kind of insulation in their fuselage, using the same, I don't know what the word is that they use in recording studios, but using the same kind of...
Well, is it baffling?
Well, it's not, but we could use that word. I forget, but they use that inside the fuselage itself, and they also use a component that is called dusting. It's not a fabric. It's not a material so much as it's a process of the manufacturing of fuselage that further insulates. And so it's rather quiet. I know you can probably hear the engines. And a moment ago we hit some turbulence. And there's nothing like turbulence in a DC-3 because you can feel it. It's not even. It's more dramatic, I think, than even a smaller propeller-driven plane.
All right, Charlie. Let's talk about your daughter. So, your granddaughter, I mean.
Yes, our granddaughter, Becky.
Okay. Her name is Roberta.
Yes, yeah, so when we call her Becky, she didn't want to be Berta. She didn't show like that, so we said, well, we'll use her. We'll call her Becky. Whoa, there was another one there.
Who are they?
Yeah, I'm traveling with some of the guys. I've got some of the guys here, Phil, from my unit in Korea. I was in the 8th Air Force, and we were stationed in a place called, which today, you know, there's no military base in France. We were in Bordeaux, France, though, and we had the 8th Air Force. And I've got some of my guys. How you feeling a bit?
Very interesting.
That's Vit Jackson, Phil.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm very good.
Tell Mr. Henry how you like the flight.
Yeah, it's been very interesting, sir, and, of course, being an old Air Force guy...
Oh, all right, let me,
So these are all Air Force buddies?
Yeah, they're Air Force guys from the old days, right?
All right, your granddaughter then, sir, beginning last year to keep these predators away, you let her just kind of not bathe. How did she feel about that?
Well, she's a kid. I think there's a misnomer, Phil, when you talk about girls. Oh, yeah, I just felt that one. We got some...
Whoa!
Wow, that was a big one. We just hit a big bump. We go over, find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Mm-hmm.
Find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Okay.
I said to find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the flyer pilot. Find out if we're going over a weather pattern.
That was very interesting.
Hold on.
Well, hey, Charlie, stay with me, man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I just wanted to... Wait a minute. We hit some turbulence. Oh, boy. Have you ever been through turbulence, Phil, where it feels like the plane just dropped about 3,000 feet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very common.
Yeah, that's just what happened right there. So I asked the flight attendant, Karen, find out if we're going over a weather pattern and if we've got to paint the plane. I can't even say it right. I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, give me the phone back, Ben, please. So, these guys have been drinking, Phil, and I apologize.
So let's get back to your granddaughter.
Yes, my granddaughter, who I love dearly, but I said to her, honey, for your own good, I'd appreciate it very much if you wouldn't bathe or wash, brush your teeth, or use mouthwash for these specified periods. Now, I don't want my granddaughter walking around stinking like a goat, but I think that in the summer months, when the kids are out, and they're more at risk. And you remember, Phil, I started this last summer.
Right. I remember, because the kids are going to be out of the house, and they're going to be at the beach, and they're going to be on their own a lot.
That is correct, right. So I said, I'd appreciate it very much. And my granddaughter, to her benefit, I said, honey, you know what's going on. And her friends started doing it. I talked to Cynthia and Pat McMichaels, are friends of mine, and they've got their granddaughter, and some of the parents. And we all got into this. And I did some carpooling to the pool, and I can tell you that if you love your children, you can put up with anything. And I had four of them in the car, and this was last July, as we were going over to the public pool over here in San Bernardino. And I said to the girls, get into the car, and I love my granddaughter so much, and I will be honest with you, my wife's here, and you remember, right? Yeah, the smell in that car, and I understand, Phil, it was a round trip, probably 100 miles. And
a round trip, 100 miles to go from Riverside to San Bernardino? That seems like an awfully long.
We were picking up. Why was it a 100 mile round trip? I took surface streets. That's right. I don't know why. I guess they were doing construction. And now that solves the problem. I'm glad I'm talking to you, Phil. I wondered why it was I put myself. I said it smelled because you've got these four little girls that haven't bathed, they haven't brushed their teeth for weeks, and not only that, but they're eating anything they want, so their skin's lousy, they're big, and you've got to get these little kids into the car, and you're squeezing them in, and then the odor. I keep going back to the odor. So in any event, and boy, I'm remembering it now.
You talking about your granddaughter?
Yes, I am. Hold on, Vic. I got one of my buddies. So we just did some more turbulence, Phil. We just did some more turbulence.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're fine, but I'm trying to get the flight attendant. Find out if we're hitting a pedowatin and why the pilot won't fly over. I'm sorry, I'm messing it up.
Find out if it's a weather pattern.
I know how to talk. I can find out if it's a weather pattern and if the pilot's panning. Okay. So, in any event, Phil, I said to Becky, I said, we'll go to the plunge. And I think I took surface streets that day because I don't know why. I had an episode, I guess. I have these episodes where I forget. And so I'm just driving aimlessly. That might have been it. And
you have episodes where you forget?
Yes, I do. And the doctor said to me he hopes it isn't a harbinger of Alzheimer's, but sometimes I'll forget and I will just drive and drive for miles.
All right, we're talking here with Charlie the Fountain. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Got some people on the line, some parents on the line who want to talk to you. Steve Dooley is checking in from Western Estates. Steve, how are you?
Mr. Henry, tell the man here. You hear me?
Say that again, sir.
I wanted to ask you, my wife Bobby Dooley, we have a pair of teachers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You don't recommend that the kid stinks like that, and we live in a gated community, you know?
I understand, sir.
And I got a kid that smells, you know, like seven shades of you know what? You can't have that walking around.
Well, the advice I give to people who live in gated communities where you have to have a certain decorum, and I understand that, sir. Believe me, I understand. The children have to have a certain decorum in a presentation. You can't have a kid walking around smelling like a dung heap. Right?
No, that's it.
And so I would say in a gated community, you have less of a threat of this kind of predator. So the kids can probably get them to take a bath a little more often. But I wouldn't run the risk. I wouldn't run the risk at all of having these kids smelling, you know what they like to say in the commercials, and I hate these commercials, and I've written to the networks, kissing soft, or they smell like a daisy or something like that. Yeah, I'll bet they smell like a daisy. I bet you they smell real good as they put them in a pine box.
That's what I'm trying to say, you know. And my wife, the whole idea of a kid stinking it out.
I understand, sir.
All right, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, let's take a break. Oh, God, help me.
What is going on?
Just turbulence. Don't worry about it. Did that go out over the air?
Did what go out over the air?
When I asked God to help me?
Yes, it did. Anyway, 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Charlie LaFountain and more of your phone calls right after these messages.
That kid's so bad.
I understand, sir. I can't do anything about your kid.
Scrub it down.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, Charlie.
Yeah, it just we had a little bit of turbulence, and I look, Phil. I was in the Air Force, so this is you know, I'm fine with it, but damn,
I've got a big one.
Vic's here with his wife. I've got some of the guys I told you, Phil, from my Air Force outfit and a squadron I was in Bordeaux, France, and we've been hitting some turbulence here. Yeah, that had ever. Oh boy.
Was that more?
Yeah. I want to speak with you more and more and more and more about my granddaughter and what we're doing in Riverside and in the Bailey Park area of Riverside, where my wife and I live, in protecting our grandkids from the predatory nature of some of these fruits and not fruits, but the poovers. But I'm having to deal with this aircraft today.
God. Woo!
See, that was another one. We just dropped about 3,000 feet. Tell the pilot to take it easy, will you, please?
Okay. Are you distracted?
It's a little distracting, yeah. It's a little distracting. I was an Air Force pilot, and for me to sit here and worry about whether I'm going to... And I've been sitting here talking about my daughter, my granddaughter, and other granddaughters... smelling as bad as they do in order to keep these predators away. And I am frightened I'm going to arrive in Albuquerque. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to stink.
Why is that? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, okay. I don't need to spell it out, do I?
No, never mind. I tell you what, take some phone calls. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Charlie LaFountain. And we are discussing what he and other neighbors of his instituted last summer, which is to protect their kids from the predators by making the children physically unappealing. And I got to tell you, I heard a lot of people say that it's completely wrong-headed. Let me go to a phone call.
Well, you're hearing people saying it's wrong-headed. Why?
Well, we can discuss it. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? This is Austin, Phil, and this man that you're talking to, I heard him on your program last year, and I remember him saying that this was a foolproof way. You ever use those words, sir?
What happened there?
I'm sorry. Hold on for a minute, will you? Hold on. What is that? We hit more turbulence.
Well, yeah, you're hitting turbulence all right, because I think the turbulence... Sir, if you want my honest opinion, is I think you've got a turbulent life. I think your life and the way you think about things, the way that you process things, I think is turbulent. I think there's turbulence between your ears.
Well, you can make all the jokes you want, sir, but I can tell you this, that my granddaughter has never been approached or attacked. She's safe.
Well, of course she's safe, but that could have a lot to do with a lot of different things, you know.
Well, all right, you can speculate all you want, but my point is
your point is what, sir? You're spending more time worrying about that aircraft.
Are you... sir, we are hitting some turbulence. We're in a DC-3.
No, I've been listening to you on the broadcast. As the plane hits turbulence, I'm listening to you crying and moaning. And
I don't think I'm crying and moaning.
Hey, Delta Bailey,
Who's that?
Hold on. You got a lot of noise going on there, Charlie, that we need to kind of filter out. So what's your point, sir, the gentleman calling?
Well, sir, my point is this. I agree with you, and it was something that I had addressed last year. I talked to this man. I said, that is a completely idiotic way of protecting a child because children, a pervert, and these individuals that prey on children, they don't care what the kid smells like. That's got nothing to do with anything. And you know, I heard that argument. Hold on for a minute, sir, if you don't mind. They don't care what the kid smells like. And the reason why I know that is because my own uncle was put into prison for this very thing. And I can tell you it was an absolute black day on the honor of our family when my uncle was put in prison.
Your uncle was in prison for abusing children?
That is correct. Little young ladies.
So in other words, that makes you an expert?
No, sir, it doesn't make me an expert. But even my uncle will tell you, who was in prison for some 18 years, even he'll tell you that what they smell like, it doesn't make no never mind to him. You know, he'll tell you they can smell like the back end of a cow on a blazingly hot and humid day in Florida. Like at about, say, 2 o'clock, 2:30, you know, just before it rains.
All right, we understand.
You really have an image in your mind, sir, and if you're comfortable with that.
No, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable. You're the one that wants a kid to stink like that. And I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's going to solve any problems. And I talked to you last year about it.
I don't remember, sir, and that's not to disrespect you, but I can assure you, sir, I have a granddaughter that I love her. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, I do. I've got two sons. And they're very small. These are two boys.
Well, I'm talking more about these young ladies.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, are you going to make do the boys stink it out?
No, because I don't know about the boys. If they wanted to, but I'm talking about my daughter, my granddaughter.
You keep calling her your daughter. Is she your daughter or your granddaughter?
She's my daughter and my granddaughter, all right? Wow.
What does that mean?
Never mind, please. Never mind.
There was more turbulence. Hey, well, I don't care about the turbulence. I want you to explain that last line.
What does that mean, she's your daughter and your granddaughter?
If I tell you, I'm in the middle of turbulence, and now I have spilled inadvertently a family something.
Yeah, you didn't.
I did. I'm afraid I did. Mr. Henry, is there any way I can tell you this off the air?
No, you can't tell me off the air. I don't want to hear if it's what I think it is, and it must be. No, I don't want to hear it.
Mr. Henry, most men never have to face the fact that given the right time and the right place, they're capable of everything.
Now, what is this, Chinatown?
Yeah, I thought I recognized that. I thought I recognized a line from Chinamantown, and that's what it is. It's not called Chinamantown.
It's called Chinatown.
Well, what are you quoting Chinatown for?
I don't know. But
get out of here. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Not you. 877-87. Why are you quoting Chinatown?
Mr. Henry, there comes a time in every phone conversation with anybody that you've got to get rid of the guy. I don't know what the guy's point was.
That's why you said that?
Yeah, so you get pissed off and throw him off the line. I don't know. I'm trying desperately. Mr. Henry, this is now becoming something that I cannot control, and my bladder... Yeah, look at that. I have lost control of some of my bodily functions because of this turbulence. Now, I will tell you, I don't want the impression given to anybody that's listening.
You know, are we talking about your granddaughter or not, and what exactly is happening aboard that aircraft?
I told you that we have very bad turbulence.
I understand that, but are you going to crash?
I don't know we're not going to crash, and I wish you wouldn't say that because it's a little bit of a superstition that you don't want to talk about.
Just did it again. You feel that?
Yeah, I did. It almost went down about 10,000 feet.
Yeah, you feel that one, Red?
Okay, are you with me here, Charlie?
I'm with you, but
I'm very confused, and I'm extremely anxious, and I couldn't stand talking to that caller any longer, so I had to come up with something that would create such a shock that you'd need to throw him off the air, because just as I was commencing my conversation with that man, I had told you that I was afraid that I would not have full control over my physical faculties, and I... Yeah. So I've got to get up and clean myself up.
Well, you know what? If things are that bad aboard that aircraft, I think we're done with this conversation.
Why?
Because we're not making any sense anyway, okay? The last caller you had on the line, you know...
That guy was a pain in the ass. I didn't want to talk to him. He talked to me last year. All he wanted to do was call up and argue with me. I want people on this talk show that I can lecture. I don't want people to debate with me. What the hell do you think I am, anyway?
An open-minded guy.
Well, forget it.
877... Yeah, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Rudy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Yes, Bill, and good evening to the gentlemen. I wanted first of all, I wanted to say that I'm appreciative of this broadcast tonight because I think it's important to keep the children safe. Secondly, I want to say that I hope you are safe aboard the aircraft, sir, because it sounds a bit shocking or heart-stopping, you know.
Well, I can tell you that it's not been the easiest ride, sir, but we're going to survive.
You're saying that you want to give a child a bath or a cleanliness or whatever it is, so that the pervert is not going to be attracted to the child.
Yes, sir, that is the thinking. And my granddaughter this summer hasn't bathed since the end of May, and I can tell you she's right.
Oh, my God, you know.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. I told you.
Yes, but, sir, what if the child is? The child has their own self-respect, you know.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about a 14-year-old child. She hasn't bathed since the end of May. She stinks like an open sewer. But that child is safe, and that's all I care about. That's all I care about. And I don't care. You can say what you want, but that child is safe.
Okay, so in other words, you think the perverts are not going to harm the children if they stink?
That is exactly correct.
May I say this to you, sir? Although my experience is with women, I would never be with a child because I am not a sick individual. But I'm going to tell you this, that I have been with some women in my life that smell like a cow. And you know what I mean by cow?
Yes, I think I know what you mean by a cow.
I have been with cows. I have been literally cows, not the four-legged cow. I have been with a two-legged cow.
And all right, before you go on, Rudy, I don't want anybody getting the idea that we're comparing perverts who are mentally unbalanced, who have got a sociopathy, all kinds of problems, who are a danger to kids, and you wooing women.
I think you're misunderstanding. That's a very good point, Mr. Hendry. I think this guy's coming on here to talk about, you were going to, you know...
Well, I think what you're going to say here, Rudy, is, the smell never bothered me.
Why can't I say that? I'm not trying to... because it doesn't apply to what you're talking about.
You're talking about normal heterosexual relating between a man and a woman, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you see, but no, it's not that normal.
Okay, it ain't that normal, but we're talking, on the other hand, we're talking about a crime being committed.
But let me say, I'm not, you're right, and I agree with you. But the only point I'm trying to make here, you know, is that, well, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say you can put up with any kind of a stink so long as it's a female.
I didn't say that either. I said I can put up with any, well...
But look, I don't want to talk about this. I don't. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Hey, look at that, Phil. Hey, the guy said the GD. I came on the program. I want to see. Oh, go cry. Go cry on somebody else's shoulder, okay? Cesar Romero.
I think that is a cheap shot. You know that?
I don't care what you think.
I think that is a cheap shot to call me Cesar Romero. I came on the program with good... And by the way, Cesar Romero, who is a great star...
Well, you're going to start to tell me about the Latin film industry now and all the great stars. I couldn't be more bored. But I'm going to say to you, and by the way, Cesar Romero was gay. How's that feel?
You know, I heard on this program last hour that they wanted to beat each other up, these two men. I would love to beat you up.
You'd like to beat me up? The only problem is actually doing that. And that would be a big one.
Speaking of big ones, you go ahead. We'll lay it on the bar. And you and I...
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I can't.
877-876-7445 here on the Phil Hendry Show. All right, so we get rid of that caller. Thank you. All right, so we're going to take a break because we are way late for our break. And are you doing okay in the aircraft there, Charlie?
No, I'm not doing okay in the aircraft. I told you. I went ahead and soiled everything. The seat, the pants, the underwear, my shoes, some of my luggage. Because why? I'll tell you why. Because I had to fly to Albuquerque tonight at a team.
877-876-7445. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The
I
Phil Hendry Show.
Say,
No. We're up here.
That's no fair.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All I can do is pray to God. What about me? All you can do is pray to God. That's all I'm telling you.
Nobody bought it.
No, they're not going to buy it. But all you can do now, all any of us can do, if you listen to me, is just get on your knees and pray to God. Pray to God. Ask God, please let us land the plane safely. And
we're on the air now, okay?
We're on the air. Hold on. We're on the air. Back on the air. I wish you'd tell me that we're on the air, Phil, because I was just telling everyone.
No, we heard what you were saying.
Right. And I didn't. I was telling everyone to pray.
Are you afraid the plane isn't going to land safely?
I'm worried, and I've always had a fear of flying.
You were in the 8th Air Force, and you have a fear of flying.
Yes. Now, let me explain that. There is nothing unusual about that. Okay, we're all right. There's nothing unusual.
What happened then?
We hit some turbulence.
So you react to turbulence in that manner?
Yes.
I knew somebody like you. My old partner in radio, we used to fly places for our radio show. And one time we flew to Europe, a couple times we flew to Europe. And every time there was a bump, he almost came out of his skin.
Mr. Henry, I am not that bad. I was in the Air Force.
Well, you were in the Air Force, but you have a fear of flying.
Yes, I have a fear of flying, and I joined the Air Force, if you'll let me finish a point, for the first time in this GD show of yours.
Well, if you feel that way, sir...
All right, don't get your... Look, don't start pulling your skirt up and looking for a place to squat. All I'm trying to say...
Wait, hey, well, hold the phone here, man. You're the guy that's getting upset.
I'm not getting upset. I'm saying I had a fear of flying, which I still have. That's why I joined the 8th Air Force, and I was very...
Oh, no. That's fast.
Okay, that was another piece of turbulence. And the reason why I joined the Air Force...
Hold on for a minute. That was you going through turbulence.
Okay, we just did a bump. We're all right. What?
Your reaction to turbulence is way over the top.
Excuse me. I said I defeated... Do you know what it's like to be able to defeat a fear like that? And to man up and to look a fear in the eye and defeat it the way I did by joining the 8th Air Force? Okay, no problem.
Did you fly aircraft?
What's that?
Did you... What's that? A thing that flies?
No, I know what you mean. What did you say?
Did you fly the aircraft?
Did I fly them? No, I was a mechanic. I was on the ground. But just hold the phone because I know where you're going. I was in the Air Force, wasn't I?
Yes, but you didn't fly airplanes.
It doesn't matter. I was in the... No, please, God, don't. Please, God, don't let me... Okay, we're good. I know I'm having a...
You're having some of the most extreme reactions to turbulence I've ever heard. You're going, please, God, please, God.
You are making a bigger issue out of it than you have to. Can we just continue the conversation and not pay attention to my reaction?
Go ahead.
What I was saying was this.
No.
What I was saying was this.
God.
Excuse me. What I was saying was this. I was in the Air Force, okay? I manned up, and I defeated my fear of flying by joining the Air Force. You're asking me, did I actually fly aircraft?
God, I don't want to die!
No, we're all right. You're asking me...
I can't stand this. I can't listen to this. We're not having a normal conversation.
Why don't you just ignore my reactions and see those as a man facing his fear? I'm on the airplane right now. Am I screaming?
No, but every time you guys hit turbulence...
That is a spoke...
Sounds like a monkey.
Yeah.
All right, we're good. What happened?
You just went into a whole chimpanzee routine.
Oh, bull crap.
That's exactly what you did. You want to ask Bud?
I'll ask Bud. I'll ask a guy with part of his brain missing.
You did. You sounded just like a monkey.
Well, Bud, I don't want to tell you what you sound like, but it's got a tail, too, and it swings from trees. Oh, man. God, I hate life. I really hate life.
And where's your granddaughter tonight?
And wouldn't you like to know?
Nope. Are you kidding me?
Why are you asking?
I'm asking because I'm wondering who's taking care of the kid.
Well, okay. Her mother.
Her mother who's got the psychotic drug problem.
The drug problem isn't psychotic. She is. Oh, that's right.
No, 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 no.
See, now you feel bad about leaving her with her mother.
Oh, it was turbulence. Now, anyway,
get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with our News and Information Hour coming up.
I do want to die.
Phil Henry.